I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
I'm just so excited to have Kevin on because it's like I haven't had a Geneseo person on in a really long time. Not that you're a Geneseo person anymore, Kevin, but...
I'll always be a Geneseo person.
Oh, wait, that is true. That is true. Go Knights. Well, welcome to the show. We're so, so excited to have you.
Honored. Thank you so much.
Honored. You have been on my list, Kevin, for, I can say years. Like, I've had a running list of people that I wanted to, like, reach out to at some point, and your name has been on it for a very long time, so I'm very glad that this...
That's so fantastic. I remember you talking about the podcast a couple years ago in Albany.
Yes. Still same show, different location.
And you're still going strong. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it followed me all the way to North Carolina. Meanwhile, Logan has stayed in the awesome, awesome Nashville, which I'm very envious of.
I hear great things about Nashville.
It's a very cool city.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Logan knows everything about Nashville.
Not everything, but I know a lot. There are always places popping up that I've never heard of that are pretty amazing.
Isn't it like growing?
Yeah, it is. Last week I had a James Beard award-winning lunch, which was awesome for like, what, $15? So that was pretty cool.
Should I know what that is?
So a James Beard award is like one of the top awards you can win culinary-wise in the world.
I had no idea.
And we have several restaurants that have won James Beard Awards. So, yeah.
Interesting.
It also has been on Diners, Drives, and Dives, whatever.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, whatever that is. And another one that I can't think of. It's called Arnold's. It's a meat and three. It's really good. Had pork chops.
Interesting.
And they also deliver, so I had roast beef on Friday. So I had it twice last week. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
It was worth it.
I have never heard of this James Beard thing, but now that I'm Google searching, I am not only hungry, but really excited to try some of these places. Apparently there's one in North Carolina.
Nashville.
Yeah. Do you want to go to Nashville, Kevin? I'm in. Totally in. Well, I should probably let you introduce yourself as well, because we tend to forget to do that. So however you feel fit, go right ahead.
Sure. So like you said, Jackie, my name's Kevin. I work at SUNY Fredonia, which is a mid-sized school in Western New York State, part of the SUNY system. I work in residence life. My title is Associate Director of Residence Life, and I've been here for, I just hit my 3-year anniversary, actually. So it's been 3 years.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. It's been a really quick 3 years, for sure. My main jobs are to do things related to RA and RD training, and so professional development. And I also lead our professional staff recruitment efforts. I oversee the residence life arm of the student conduct system. And as we all do, there are a lot of other little projects that that come up during the year that that I do as well. But maybe more importantly, I like all things sports. I'm an aspiring golfer.
Nice.
I am a fiercely proud INFP in my link. And I really like to laugh, and I like math and most beige foods.
Beige foods.
The Kevin Hahn laugh. I need it. I like, we'll get it at some point, but it's a very good laugh.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about me.
Talk to me more about you being an aspiring golfer. I assume it has hit a serious pause button considering the not so lovely weather that y'all have had for the last I would say 12 months roughly.
Yeah, that's true here in New York. But I actually just returned from a vacation from much warmer climes. And so in Outer Banks, North Carolina, there is golf.
Yes.
So we were able to play a couple times. It was the first two times of the year that we played, and it worked out really well. And on my way home, I actually noticed that it started, like, the sun came out, like, as I was driving home. So I think I literally brought the warmer weather and the sunshine with me here to Fredonia.
Yes.
So golf weather soon, we hope.
Hope so. You guys definitely need it. I saw some snow in the forecast recently.
Yeah, that was awful. I think we're all done with that. Everybody's got cabin fever here.
Yeah, for sure. Did you just start golfing? When did you start? What inspired you?
Probably around 9 years ago. I picked it up. I had always wanted to learn. But it's an expensive sport, actually.
Yes,
like, you need to have your own clubs, and then you need to pay to go to these different places to play. And unbeknownst to me, because we all live in kind of different parts of the state, my brother picked it up, and my dad picked it up again for the first time in a long time at around the same time. And so we use it as an excuse to get together a couple times a year, which I think is really cool. I always look forward to those times, us kind of convening and then picking a place to go.
That's really nice.
Yeah, for sure.
My best golf story, because my dad was a golfer. Well, he golfed for fun. And so he was like, do you want to try it? And I said, yeah, sure. And so he bought me some, like, clearly, like, pre-owned used clubs, which was fine because I was maybe 12. And we were at the driving range, and I was using a driver, and I hit the ball. But then I heard, like, a foo-foo-foo-foo-foo. And I looked, and it was the head of the club that went flying into the course. And I, like, as a young child, like, did not really know. Like, I was very like, what just happened? But then at the exact same time, the little ball caddy guy that, like, everybody tries to hit at the driving range, like, when he goes, they drive out to pick up the balls, like, he came out, and my dad was all nervous. He's like, oh my god, what if this guy runs over the driver? It's probably gonna, like, mess up the whole machine. But we saved the day. But sadly, did not use those clubs anymore. Could not fix.
So, you know, I don't think that was your fault, Jackie. And my first time playing golf, not at a driving range, I have a story very similar to yours. Mm-hmm. When I hit the ball, the driver head, like, flew off the club for one. And then the ball, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost like 90% sure, hit a bird.
Stop. Wow.
Hit a poor bird. It was I don't know how I recovered from that, like, from that first.
The emotional scarring of hitting a bird with a golf ball.
I couldn't believe, and then I'm like, well, like, that was really awful, or I could spin it and say that that was, like, a really good shot, right? Because, like,
I
haven't done that since, and so.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you say, like, oh, yeah, I was trying to go for that, then you are admitting to trying to hit a bird with a golf ball.
Right. Situation.
Like, right. It's never good at all. But, right, it's also, like, again, not your fault. Like, you did not loosen the head of your driver with the intention of it flying off and then suddenly hitting a bird with a golf ball.
And I didn't want to make that goose mad at me.
No. Oh, my gosh. Geese are the worst. The worst. Well, I'm glad you had a lovely vacation. How did you shoot?
Pretty good for me.
Good. So basically, like, Tiger Woods is like, you know, next in line.
Right.
Makes sense. Well, he's not like a relevant, I guess he's not a relevant golfer.
He's trying to work himself back in the game. Like, I would imagine that it takes a while.
Do you enjoy watching golf?
So, not as much as playing.
I agree with that.
But I will say that since I started playing, like, it, it's somehow more entertaining for people that don't play golf. I would see how watching golf is boring, but with people who have played before and you watch it, it's somehow more entertaining because you understand what's going on and there's a context, like, mm-hmm. there's a context to it.
Yeah, I always, I've never been good at golf, but my dad is a huge fan, so I've always kind of tagged along with him and all the things that he does with that. And I've grown up watching golf on TV. Occasionally it can sort of maybe be exciting.
Yeah. Right. I mean, sometimes they jump in the lake afterwards.
Sometimes
if there's water.
Just like sometimes.
Because they're happy they won.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not just that, but when someone chips from a sand trap into the hole, I mean, gosh.
Or hits a bird, maybe.
Yep.
just a random situation I just thought of out of the air. Nothing from life. Just generally coming up with ideas.
Right.
Well, that's so fun. I'm glad you had a nice little vacation. And I assume this is a good time. Actually, we probably should have, we wouldn't be able to get you. I was going to say we should have waited until like the fall to chat with you about work, but then you would have been way too busy. So maybe this is a good time to talk to you.
Yeah, I think always a good time.
So what are the type, you're like gearing up because I mean, the semester's winding down very quickly. So you're gearing up for the next semester, on to the next.
Yeah,
right?
I believe.
Or do you guys do conferences and stuff during the summer?
We do. We do. We're a mid-sized school, and so we have about like 15 or 16 residence halls. And we try to have a full conference schedule. I mean, that's one of the ways that we can generate some revenue for the school, right? And so we do the best we can. And so we all kind of chip in. I would say the RDs usually chip in with a lot of the work to make sure that those conferences run. And then there are things like orientation, and we're planning for training, and we're hiring RDs, and just like summer is just a different kind of busy, I would say. Like there's no downtime really in higher ed.
Not really.
Just different types of work, right? And so we're getting
unless
ready
you're a student or professor, and then you get downtime.
Sure, yeah. So we're just kind of we're excited for the warmer weather, and we're excited for some different kind of work. And summer is when you can really look at things that you do and see if they really work, and see if there's anything that you want to to shift around or change a little bit or change a lot. And so in those ways, like summer, like is a really exciting time.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. Have you gone through the hiring process yet for your fall RAs?
We just finished that a couple weeks ago. And so we got some really good people coming in. We're excited about that. And sad but happy, like a couple of our RDs got really cool jobs elsewhere. And so our next step is to try to fill some of our professional staff positions that we have opening up.
That's so great, but a lot of stress.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Like you feel a lot of pressure to try to find somebody that can hold a candle to the people that you lost. And so it's a constant trying to like, okay, like, you know, one up yourself or make sure that, you're getting the best people that you can and the most enthusiastic and, the most qualified for the students that we have. And so, and everybody is kind of vying for those same candidates. Right. And so then it becomes like, there's a lot of pressure involved with that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now we have a little PSA out there. Yeah. Hiring guys.
Come to Fredonia. It's awesome. It's not always snowing.
Not always. There's like a week where it's not snowing. And are you an alum of Fredonia? Did I make that up?
You didn't make it up, but okay. No, I'm a Geneseo alum.
Yep, got that wrong. We can edit that one out, Logan, right?
No, because that's your, you went to, okay.
I know. And it took me a minute because when I knew Kevin at Geneseo.
Yeah, in fairness, though, there's probably no way that you would have really known that. Like, I was kind of old, like,
Right. Well, yes, we did not go to school together.
I was kind of past, like, people, like, knowing that I was a Geneseo alum.
But normally, I feel like when you work in higher ed, where you went to school becomes so much more, like, I don't want to say important, but, like, well-known almost. Mm. And maybe it's because now that I'm at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and so many people are UNC alum, and they're, like, Carolina Blue until I die kind of situation.
Loud and proud, right? Yeah.
And yeah, they're very loud and proud, which is awesome. It almost makes the folks who are not UNC alum equally loud, because we're like, no, I am not an alum. Like, I did not go here. I went somewhere else.
And you still have something to add, right? Like, you right. still have value. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I went to Geneseo. There's a bear statue, or is there?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Logan knows the bear statue. Yes. Mostly because I cried like the day that it got hit, and then I cried again the second day it got hit. It was very sad.
I kind of laughed the second time it got hit, but
hey, now.
I knew they were going to fix it. I knew they were going to fix it. It's just, you know, it happened again.
Back off.
Well, it's just interesting. It just shows that Geneseo is a more happening place. There's a lot more going on, because for the first 100 years, that statue wasn't touched, and then it was hit twice in a year. So very that just true. Means that just means it's a more happening place. There's more things happening, or there's a lot more drunk people running into a bear statue.
No, they weren't drunk. Neither were drunk. They were just giant delivery trucks. At least I don't think either of them were. Kevin may be able to
excuse if you're drunk.
Yeah, I would say no. I would say they weren't drunk.
Yeah, they were. I know one was definitely a delivery truck, and I do not remember the second one.
I'm just trying to give an excuse for the people. That's all.
I appreciate your positive spin on the unfortunate demise of the fountain in the
center.
I'm just
trying to make it bear slaughter, you know, instead of, you know, murder, you know.
Oh dear, oh dear. This has took a dark turn.
Yes.
Kevin, how are you? How's it going?
I want to hear more about the statue. And Logan's theories about the statue.
Yes, I didn't know you had so many.
It was really the Illuminati. That's the real thing.
I'm glad we got a little sampling of the Kevin Hun laugh. Uh-huh. Thank you very much, Logan, for that. So Kevin, this is my other Kevin Hun thing that I want to talk about, but it's like so visual, is the Kevin Hun handwriting thing. Oh, yeah. And I will request, for the sake of our listeners, that somewhere, somehow, you provide a snapshot of a sampling of your handwriting, so that we can include it in the show notes, because I think this is, it just, I love it personally, and I just applaud it generally.
Yes, I would be happy to. there's no trick to it. People wonder how, and it really just is second
nature.
But I don't know if this is vanity or what, but a few years back, one of my friends who also was familiar with my handwriting sent me this website where you can print out a template and then write in like all your letters and upload it to a computer file, and it generates like your own font.
That's
and
amazing.
So I have a computer font with my handwriting with my friend's help. And so now, like, I have it on my computer to be able to.
Oh, my God.
So, Jackie and Logan, if you want, I can even send you the font. And you
yes, please do.
I will write everything I own in that font. I am so sad that I just submitted my final projects for both of my classes, and I could not do this in this font.
Yeah, please definitely send it to us so I don't have to cut out this whole section of the podcast.
No, sure. Definitely. Oh, my gosh, yes. This is so exciting. That's so cool. Was it free?
I think the first one was. I think it was like a promotional thing.
That's amazing.
And then I ended up actually sharing the website with my friend who was filling out wedding invitations, and they were like, "This is awesome because it's my handwriting, but I don't have to
write it
hand, right?" And so it was a really good investment for them, even though they did have to pay.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that now all my wedding invitations are going to be in your handwriting, Kevin.
That is beyond an honor. That's more of an honor than being invited to join you for this podcast, honestly.
Wow. All right. Noted. Noted for the future. Cool. I'll have to try to dig up that website. I'm sure that a few Google searches will reveal itself. That is so neat. I feel like I should probably describe it, but almost want to not describe it so that our listeners can head over to highered.social and check out the show notes. And also while you're there, hit subscribe if you haven't subscribed, and also tell your friends about it so you can check it out. So I won't tell you what it looks like. How about that? The ultimate cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We're basically at serial level right now with our storytelling, Logan. I think we're doing well.
That's serial with a C.
No. No.
Like
Wait, is there a podcast opportunity there though? Like cereal? Would it just be this podcast while we're eating cereal?
I think so.
That's fine with me.
Now I have to go look.
If there's a podcast called Cereal?
Yes.
Oh, I hope so. Kevin, favorite breakfast cereal while Logan looks.
So right now it would have to be Cinnamon Life.
Okay. In for it? Was it something like last week? Like, how frequently does this change?
I guess not too often, right? But sometimes you're in the mood for like a different cereal.
I feel that.
Right. And so, you know, maybe once in a while, like I want to change it up with a little Lucky Charms, even though like Lucky Charms is not going to be my go-to cereal.
Yeah. That's not an all the time cereal. That's a sometime cereal.
That's a sometime cereal. Yeah.
As Cookie Monster would say, sometimes food.
There are several cereal podcasts, all with interesting plays off of the cereal logo. It doesn't look like many have made it past season one. And several of them haven't made it past the first episode. but they exist. There are cereal podcasts with a C. And being that Higher Ed Social is up to 100 and this will be episode 110, I think.
Wow.
I think you'll probably quote me on that.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, I think we're a little bit farther along than the other serial podcasts that start with a C.
Well, I'm excited for our latest podcasting adventure with Kevin Hahn as guest on Serial. So I kind of had asked this question sort of. You said you're hiring new folks, gearing up for the summer. What else is going on, like, on campus, on your desk? Like, what's on your desk right now? Granted, you were just on vacation, so probably, like, nothing.
Or maybe a lot. Like,
or everything. It's a mystery. We don't know.
That's a great question. We on campus, we've been really looking at, as many campuses are, like ways, you know, our enrollment, right? And mm-hmm. So the two components of enrollment, like recruitment and retention. And I think where Residence Life comes in is really like a big part in the retention, the keeping students that we have. And so we've really been thinking about the idea of retention in our department, and there's a campus-wide kind of coalition of people called the Retention Council that meets to talk about strategies and ways that the campus can strategically put themselves in a better position to support students and be able to retain them. And so I wouldn't say that that's not on my desk right now, but certainly that's something that I'm thinking about. Tomorrow is actually a big day because our president is giving her annual budget presentation tomorrow. And so the way that Fredonia does it is that she announces it to the campus community. And it's going to be at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and everybody's invited to attend. And so that's where she kind of unveils the financial state and the financial plan for us moving forward. Like, what, you know, what's going to happen? Are there going to be any expansion of programs? Are any programs going to need to be like reduced or cut? And kind of how are we going to navigate like any, you know, any differences that we have, like in what we spend versus what we take in. And so that's an interesting math problem that is, you know, beyond my position to solve, but certainly as somebody who works at Fredonia and who cares a lot about the students that are there, obviously I want to see it, you know, do well and prosper financially. And so tomorrow is kind of like the first day of what, you know, 2018, 2019 and beyond looks like for our campus. And so that's happening. And I'm sure that happens, you know, on every campus in different ways, but that's when it's happening for us.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting that it's a
all, I mean, I guess everywhere does this now that I'm thinking about it, but to have it an all campus and let everybody show up and listen and speak their mind, that should be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that it takes a lot of courage for our president to be able to do that, right? Like, mm-hmm. she's, you know, in front of an audience who, you know, is really passionate about the place, but, you know, you never know what kind of questions you're going to get. And
right.
so I really applaud her for putting herself out there to do that so that people can feel informed about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I think I've been to one very many, you know, town hall settings where the president will come out and allow it to be kind of like a, I don't want to say free for all, because that makes it sound a little chaotic, but it's just like a ask me whatever. And that's scary. You know, there's some folks that have been at the institution probably longer than your president has and seen more things and gone through different changes and, you know, all that type of stuff. So we're moving into commencement season. So that's all that's on my brain. But I don't know. Well, you probably have some stuff going on because of commencement, Kevin, right? With housing and all.
Definitely check out.
Do the seniors live on campus generally? Are they living in off campus?
Yeah, some do. They have to live on campus for 2 years here. And so there's also a lot of off campus housing, like Fredonia being in a relatively like rural area, like there's a lot of like developments and apartments and houses that students can choose to rent that are like within walking distance of campus. And so I would say most of the seniors that we have live off campus. But there's always a handful that we have in the residence halls that are graduating. And then there's the people that are, you know, performing at graduation. And so we're getting ready for them. We're getting ready for, you know, for the parents. Right. Anytime you get to be able to make an impression as a campus on anybody, whether that's mm-hmm. like a prospective student or a graduate or an alumnus or a parent or just someone who is interested in looking at colleges, like it's, you know, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining that, you know, this week, like grounds is going to be really busy, like getting everything together. That's always how it was at Geneseo. Geneseo was beautiful time of year. Right. And then, you know, it's like for the month of May, like everything is beautiful. And then it turns over to kind of construction season and you've got the caution tape and the orange cones out. But May, like, is a beautiful month at a lot of campuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ours do a pretty good job of, I don't know, I guess it's because of where we live. I mean, we have a slightly more temperate climate than you do. So our grass tends to stay green all year. Leaves fall off the trees, but it's still pretty in its own way. I guess I had a question for you. As far as students living on campus, do you guys have a residency requirement or anything like that for students? Do they have to stay on their like freshman year or their sophomore year?
Yes, we do. So it's 2 years here for us. And from what I know, like there's a lot of other like New York, like SUNY campuses that do it the same way.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if that was that's not a SUNY system thing. That's a campus by campus.
I believe every campus is able to make that decision for themselves.
I know that we have a 60 hour requirement. So,
okay. That makes
sense. Which is cool because, with the growth of the university, it's been really interesting because when I started at Belmont, we had six main freshman residence halls. And since then, the freshmen have taken over 1, 2, 3, soon to be 4 more residence halls. So,
oh, wow.
It's been kind of crazy. And we're about to open a new upperclassman residence hall that houses over 600 students. So... Mm-hmm. It's actually the biggest building on campus and it's like 13 stories high and we call it Tall Hall.
Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we've like res life has grown so much. It's grown so much at Belmont and I've always found it incredibly interesting just to see like the diversity of rooms. I've actually been working with res life, on some marketing stuff. Working on, kind of a video presentation with them. And I got to take a video, like make a video tour of, kind of a showroom in every residence hall. And it's just amazing just to see, and they're not showrooms. They're actually student rooms that are just really well decorated. And some of them are amazing. Like, and it blows my mind because some of our students, like, their parents are interior designers and they just make the room just super feng shui and awesome.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. And it blows my mind what you can do with the furniture that you're given and a few posters and, you know, maybe a couch or something.
A lot of talented students, right? Talented in many ways. We have, we found an old photo album in one of our filing cabinets from like something that we called an almost home contest. And right. So back then it was in the 80s and the hall directors would go around and they would take pictures of student rooms that entered into this contest. And then the winners would get some sort of food or gift certificate or something. And so we decided to bring that back a couple years ago because we thought that was kind of cool and give students a chance to show off their, you know, their living spaces to other people.
That's so neat. It's like MTV's Cribs, but.
Right. Yeah. Like rated G.
Rated very G.
Well, I was actually thinking about that today. I was watching Fixer Upper because, you know, what else is on? And because that's usually when you're watching Fixer Upper, right? And I was thinking, sure. what if there was like a YouTube show, and I bet you there is one, you know, there's got to be one, where someone goes around and like flips dorm rooms, you know?
That's awesome.
That would be an awesome show. I would watch that.
But like how much flipping can you do? I mean, I guess you could like just redecorate it better.
Your budget is $15.
Yeah.
My budget's $50.
And you can only go shopping at the school bookstore. Go. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that we look at, you know, I was thinking about it though. There are so many ways you can configure a room, especially since, you know, these days you can loft the bed, you can not loft the bed. I mean, we've got students that have built recording studios under their lofted bed with sound baffling and, you know, professional level equipment, you know, even a sound mixing board, all that kind of stuff. There's like just, it blows my mind.
That's great.
Oh, this is what I should ask.
I think the Serial podcast would be great. Serial with a C. And I think that the room flipping would be good.
That would be really fun.
And also really helpful for the people that don't necessarily have those skills and are like, I want to have like a really cool room too, but I would like somebody to help me with that.
Right. Oh man, this is sounding like my next little project at work.
Yes.
Is creating this video series. But who would do, you would need like an experienced like senior RA or something who's like seen a lot of rooms that like picks all the little things. Cause like whenever you would go for like room checks, you'd see how students had their rooms designed and it's like, oh, that's really cool.
Or if you could find like a really famous, like if Martha Stewart was once an RA, right? And then Martha Stewart is going back in time with her newfound talent and we're like, this is how I would have redecorated my old room.
And then she would just make the whole thing a Martha Stewart plug, but I'm fine with it.
What if you did like trading spaces and you take like two interior design majors and you set them up with two students and then they switch and try to make rooms, you know.
That would be fun.
That would be interesting.
Man, maybe we don't publish this episode because there's so many golden ideas inside of it. I feel kind of scared, like, releasing it into the world.
Yeah, you're probably right. I might cut this part out.
No, keep it. The world needs to know. They need to know how great we are.
Yes.
That's so cool. I love it. Kevin, what is the, like, most – I don't want to say the weirdest thing – but the thing that has made you the most like stunned and or confused that you either you personally or like you have heard of being found in a student's room?
That's a really good question.
I like, I'm also trying to think of mine and I can't even think of mine. Is that crazy?
You know, and I certainly don't want to evade your question, right?
No, because, do it.
A good question. But I will say that like when you work in residence life for so long, like, and obviously you've never seen everything, but it almost like they all kind of like blend together, right?
I
like
totally know exactly what you're saying.
Into this amalgam of, I can't believe that that happened, or like, they, wait, they had what in there, or like, you know, all of those things. There, I will say, like, and it wasn't just one thing, but when I was an RD back in the good old Geneseo in Steuben, we had a student that had their own room, and we were doing a room check, and for some reason they had left and they hadn't really given us their key. Like, they had just kind of peaced out. They had just left. Mm-hmm. So we walk into this room, and the first thing that you see, like, on the, there's like a, like at some of the older rooms in Geneseo, there's towel bars that are like located right as you enter the room. And so we see like five or six of those like tree air fresheners that you would put in a car. And it was almost like, if you, and this is going to be a real morbid turn too. Like, if you've seen the movie Seven with.
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's there's been a while. And I certainly don't want to spoil any for anybody out there.
I think you can spoil it if it's an older movie. Okay.
Well, yeah,
you're allowed.
It's a good movie. I would recommend it. But there's this, basically, Kevin Spacey is this serial killer that kills with, like, he wants to have a murder for each of the seven deadly sins. And so for the one with, like, gluttony, it's very sad, but he ends up starving this person. But then the kind of the aura in the room begins to smell, and so and so that the landlord doesn't find out what's going on, he puts up like all of these like pine scented air fresheners so that nobody will know what's happening, that he's slowly killing somebody in this room. And that's kind of the first thing that I thought of when I went into this room and I saw all these trees, and I'm like, what is happening? What is, and it wasn't any sort of horrific body, like, murder scene.
Nope.
But there was like a lot of trash, a lot of smelly things in the room. And that's why there were all these air fresheners hanging.
Oh my gosh.
We had to charge that person a lot of money. And it was really nerve-wracking to have that be the first thing that you see and then have that image be pop up in my head.
Yes, especially if you have watched this movie. Like, I wouldn't have gone to, like, this could potentially be the scene of a murder if I had seen that, but now
and
I know.
That's good that you wouldn't. I would imagine that the normal person would not. But it just, you know how sometimes, like, you see something and it reminds you of something?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, and that's where my mind took me.
Yep,
I was entering with an RA. Like, I didn't let the RA know that I was thinking about the movie. I kept that to myself for all these years until sharing it with the two of you now.
Wow. I hope that RA is listening to this podcast and is like, oh my God, Kevin, why didn't you tell me we were going to die?
They might not remember. They might not remember it that I do.
That's too funny. Oh my God. It's gonna, something like that burned in your brain forever. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, on that note, I think that's all the time we have left on the show.
Aw, but this is so fun. Going into the deep, dark depths of Kevin's mind.
We've gone to many dark places in this episode. Thanks, Kevin, for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. Awesome.
Yeah, it really was a pleasure. And you guys and Emma are doing a great work with this podcast. So I hope that you're able to keep it up.
Thanks.
And listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today. And subscribe to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for other folks to find us and for you to let us know how we're doing. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love hearing from you. And don't forget to let us know if you'd like to be on the show. Higher Ed Social is produced by Emma Hawes and is part of the Connect EDU Network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit our website, connectedu.network, and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you live on campus. Actually, not where you live. Listen to some... Dang it, I'm just out of it. And subscribe... Let's just do that whole last part again.
record it later, Logan. Just call it a day.
Higher Ed's, stop laughing. Higher Ed, I'm going to get this. Higher Ed Social is produced. Stop laughing. Higher Ed Social is produced by the amazing Emma Hawes and is part of the Connect EDU Network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit our website, connectedu.network, and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
I had to mute myself because I was still laughing.